Greetings to each of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was really impressed with that devotional period that Brother James shared this morning. Actually, both devotional periods shared by Brother James. But as Brother James Allgaier was talking here this morning, talked about resisting the devil. And I thought, what a fitting introduction to the message this morning. Some time ago, I was reading, and I came across an Old Testament passage that really struck close to home for me. And I thought, what a sad commentary. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22. Should possibly take the time to read this whole chapter, but I'm not going to. Just give a short overview of what this chapter is about. As with the book of Ezekiel as a whole, God is speaking through Ezekiel to the children of Israel, warning them of their sin, warning them of God's view of their evil practices and worship. But in chapter 22, he comes right down home to the city of Jerusalem, right down to the seat of not only the national government, but to the seat of religious government and religious teaching and practice. And he tells Ezekiel, he says, I want you to look at the city. You just take a look at the city and you judge the city, or you evaluate the city. And you give some consideration to what is going on here. Then he says in verse 3, then say thou, thus saith the Lord God. He says, Ezekiel, I want you to go to the city and I want you to tell them my words. And the next number of verses are this very sad commentary of what, not only what Ezekiel is seeing in the city, but what God is seeing in the city. He says, life is cheap. You shed innocent blood. Morality is low. You have immorality open and no shame. Greed was unchecked. You have people taking advantage of the poor. You have individuals who are just out to get whatever they can get for themselves. They have no thought or care about who they're taking advantage of and what's happening. Idol worship is rampant. It's mixed with their supposedly God worship. They're mixing idol worship with that. They're bringing idol worship into the temple. They're doing things. I mean, the devotions this morning for Sunday school about Jesus cleansing the temple. Well, here we see in the Old Testament already, in the time of Ezekiel, the filth and the idol worship that was in the temple. And not only that, but the priests and the leaders had defiled themselves. They were going right along with the people of the day. In fact, in some senses, they were almost the leaders of what was going on. But then we come down to the end of the chapter and we have verse 30. And God's saying here, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. but I found none. Sad commentary. Among the people of God, among individuals who were professing to be the chosen ones of God. And God has his whole list of sins and wrong, and then he says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. I sought for one individual to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, so that I won't destroy the land. But the sad commentary is, God has to say, I found none. Verse 31, therefore I have poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. A very sad commentary, a very sad ending to this chapter. And the reason is because God looked for somebody, for one individual to stand in the hedge. Just one person that would stand in the gap so that God won't destroy the land. And he didn't find any. I had to wonder, if God were to write a commentary on America today, supposedly a Christian nation, what would that commentary be? How would it read? Would it be any different than what God said to the people of Israel in Ezekiel's day? Would the list of sins be about the same? I believe it would be. Israel was a religious nation. They were also the church of the Old Testament. So what would the commentary read if God were to write a commentary of the Mennonite church today? Would it be any different than what we have in the book of Ezekiel, and especially in chapter 22? I don't know how much different it would be. What about a commentary of the Pilgrim Conference? What would God write about that? What about Ridgeview? What about me? Or you? Would he have to end that commentary saying, I sought for a man, but I found none? Brothers and sisters, it's up to us today. The burden lies upon our shoulders this morning. How that commentary reads and how it ends. The title of the message this morning, A Man to Stand in the Gap. Is it possible for a man to stand in the gap for others if his own walls are broken down? Can you or I be the man, be the individual who stands in the gap for the nation, for the church, for our own congregation, for our own homes? If we have gaps in our own hedges, if we have gaps in our own walls, personally in our own lives. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we need to as Brother James Allgaier shared in devotions this morning, we need to resist the devil. We need to draw nigh to God in our own lives, in our own experience. That's where it all starts. If we have gaps in our own hedges, if our walls personally are broken down, it's not going to be possible for us to be standing in the gap for our homes and our churches, because we've already left down our own guards. We've already allowed Satan a foothold in our lives. So we need to stand in the gap for ourselves, personally. We need to be willing to be different. And not just be different for different's sake. There's many people in the world today who are counter society just simply to make a statement. Just simply to say, there's nobody that's going to tell me what to do. They're proving that they have somebody that's telling them what to do simply by doing that. They are controlled by an anti-God. That's not our goal this morning, not just to be different for different's sake. Our goal is to be different because we serve a different master, we serve a different God than the world around us. And our goal is to be different because we have surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we are willing to obey God's word no matter what the cost. Or are we? You know, sometimes the cost is pretty much. Sometimes the cost goes over and above what we really want to pay. Sometimes the cost is that great that we're just not sure that we want to be quite so different. And I'm not going to make a lot of practical applications this morning because I want you to allow the Spirit to make the practical applications in your own life as to where your hedge has a gap in it. Do I realize where I am spiritually? Do I take the time to stop and think about my spiritual relationship with God? Or is life just going on and I'm running here and there and I'm doing this and that, and you know, I have time to sit down and read my Bible every now and then, and other than that, well, I'm busy with life? Or am I taking time to stop and consider where I am spiritually? What is my conviction? What is my dedication? What is my surrender? Is Jesus Lord of my life? Or is he just a good name to have in time of trouble and stress and distress? Where am I spiritually? You know, sometimes I wonder, if we as Mennonites would take the time to consider as thoroughly and as carefully the choices we make in our spiritual life and how that is going to affect my wealth spiritually as much as we do in the financial life, in the everyday life, might we be stronger spiritually than what we are? Do we really stop and consider the choice that I'm making today, the choice I'm making right now, what's before me here? Do I stop and consider how much that is going to affect my life tomorrow and next week and next year? Or do I just choose what feels good for right now, what's going to be the easiest for right now? We'll worry about what happens next, later. We don't do that in the financial end. We don't do that in our everyday life, in our work and so forth. If I do this, then, you know, we look at what's going to happen next. Do we do the same in our spiritual life? Am I looking at myself honestly? I'm a good Christian. I go to church every Sunday. When there's prayer meeting, I'm there. I read my Bible. We're pretty good at that, right? We're pretty good at laying out exactly what, you know, where we're at. You know, there was a man that went up to the temple to pray, and he said, "God, this is what I do." The Pharisees were good at saying, you know, this is what we do. They were good at displaying it. Sad part about it is Jesus condemned those people for that. Why did he condemn them? Was it wrong for them to give alms? Was it wrong for them to pray and fast? Was it wrong for them to have the wide borders on their garments? No, that wasn't wrong. Those were all good things. The reason it was wrong was because they were making a display to receive glory to themselves. Their heart wasn't in it. Their heart wasn't concerned about their respect and service to God. Their heart was concerned about what people think of them. That's why they did it. They wanted to be the good ones. They wanted to be the ones who people looked up to. They wanted to be the ones who got the praise and the glory from men for their religious service. Brothers and sisters this morning, why do I do the things I do? The simple thing of coming to church this morning, why did I do it? Where's our heart? Are we standing in the gap? Are we doing the things we're doing? Are we doing it as a service to God? Or are we doing it for the glory of men? If that's why we're doing it, we have a hole in the hedge. And we need to close it up. God is saying, I want you to be my servant. I want you to be my people. I want you to be obedient to my word. Why is God saying that? Because God loves us. God wants us to be true to him because he loves us. God didn't want to destroy the children of Israel. God didn't want to destroy the land. God didn't want to bring heathen nations in and capture his people. But what does he say? He says, therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. Brothers and sisters this morning, God loves us. He doesn't want to destroy us. But he wants us to build up the hedge. He wants us to build up the wall. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be honest and true. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be submissive to him. So many times, just like the children of Israel, our self gets in the way and we allow the hedge to be broken down. We allow the allurements of the world to to capture our attention. We allow the praise of men to have its glory for us. Are we standing in the gap in our own lives? Are we resisting Satan like the brother shared this morning? Stand against Satan and make up the hedge. We have a perfect example in the New Testament of what we need to do to stand against Satan. It's a very simple illustration. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came to him, and three different times he laid a temptation before Jesus, said, if you just do this. And three different times Jesus said, it's written. Jesus used the word of God to resist Satan, to stand against Satan and to build the wall. You and I can do the same this morning. Not only can we do the same, but we need to do the same. We need to stand on the word of God. It's the only thing we have to stand on. We have nothing in ourselves that we can stand on and build the hedge and the wall against the inroads of sin in our lives. It is only the word of God. And brothers and sisters, as we stand in our own lives, then we are fit and able to stand in our homes, in our churches, and to stand for the lost around us. And just for a few moments yet, I'd like to look at some of those areas where we need to stand. Fathers and mothers, we need to stand in our homes. We need to make up the hedge and the wall in our homes. God is saying, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. I'm looking for a man who's willing to stand so that his home can be spiritual. I'm looking for a man who can stand to protect his children and his family. I'm looking for a man who is willing to stand in this evil world and to say, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. That's what I'm looking for, God says. Is he finding it in me and in you? What is the commentary this morning for our homes? Looking back across the years, those of you who are parents, fathers especially, looking back across the years, is your home safer now than it was last year? Is your home safer now than it was 5 years ago? Or have there been inroads made where the gap needs to be closed? And brethren, I know it's hard. But maybe there's something in your home that you know God is speaking to you on and saying you need to close up the gap. You need to regain some ground. You need to get rid of some things. I talked with a young man not too long ago. And he said they had problems in their home. Their young son started having bad dreams. He'd have nightmares. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. He never had problems before. And just it seemed like in a short time these things got worse. He'd wake up in the middle of the night, he'd scream, and he'd cry, and he'd run out of bed, and he'd run into their room, and you know, something was after him, or you know, he have these nightmares. And he said they prayed about it, they sought the Lord's direction on it. You know, what is it? And in answer to their prayer, God brought a message that they heard, talking about the evil influences of the world around us and how some things that we allow into our home can be an open door for Satan. talking about some medical practices, some, you know, many, many things. And on the way home, he and his wife got to talking, and he said, well, you know, do we have anything like that in our home that would be questionable? And he looked at me and he said, this may sound kind of funny to you. He said, it did kind of to me at first. I thought, well, you know, how can that work? But he said, my wife said, well, the only thing that she can think of is that her mother got in the mail a little thing from an Indian reservation. They were trying to raise money. And this little thing was called a dream catcher. You ever hear of a dream catcher? You know what they are? They're little, look almost like a spider web shaped thing. And they're interesting. They're some of them are pretty. I've seen different ones, and some of them are rather pretty. And they may have some feathers, colored feathers on or something like that. She didn't want it, so she gave it to her grandchildren. They had this thing in their home. They didn't realize what it was until it was brought out in this message that they heard about these dream catchers and how they are to filter the dreams so that only the good dreams can come through and the bad dreams get caught in this thing. And it's an old Indian folklore that gives power to the spirits to control your life. And he said, this sounded strange to me. It sounded, you know, we don't believe in it, you know, it's just a pretty thing we have that the children play with sometimes, and you know. But he said, you know, the more he thought about it, he said, one day at work, it just really came to him. He said, you know, you got to go home and you got to take care of that thing. And that's what he did. Came home from work, he told his wife, he said, that thing's going. He took it out and burned it, I think. He said, you know, my son's bad dreams ended. He hasn't had a one since. Brethren, are we willing to stand in the gap in our homes? Are we willing to take a stand when God speaks to us and he says, I need you to do this? Are we willing to do it? Or are we going to let the gap open just a little bit longer? Well, maybe someday I'll take the time to repair the hedge. Maybe someday I'll take the time to build up that hole in the wall. And we allow it open just a little bit longer. And we allow the influence of the world, the influence of Satan into our homes just a little bit longer. The longer we let it go, the less convenient a time we're going to find to do it. And I say that from experience, brethren. The time will come when we realize that the damage has been done. It's never too late to repair the hole in the wall. But I'm afraid sometimes we've done more damage than what we realize. The hedges that we built around our homes, the walls that we have built, our convictions, our laws, our commands in our home, if you want to put it that way. We need to realize, brothers and sisters, are not only to keep the evil out, but they're there to keep the good in. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to protect our families? Are we as brethren willing to take the lead, take the responsibility of the spiritual leadership in the home? And to protect our families and to warn them to remain inside the wall, inside the hedge? Or do we let the gaps open for them to go out? We look at Eli's sons in 1 Samuel 3. And then the sad commentary of Samuel's sons in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Doesn't say a whole lot about Samuel's sons. But when it's talking about Eli's sons, they did evil, and he restrained them not. And the end of them was they took the ark out into the battle. Do you realize that when they did that, they made the ark an idol? They took the ark out there in battle. This here says that God is here with us. Brothers and sisters, the ark became an idol to them. The ark became an identification of God there with them when the people should have been the identification. The people in the battle should have been the identification of God being there, but God was missing in their lives. And they took the ark. Oh, the ark, that's where God was. Let's take the ark out there. Then we can be victorious. Brothers and sisters, if that's all the ark means to us, it's an idol. We need to be, ourselves need to be the presence of God in our homes and in our churches. Eli's sons took the ark out. The ark was captured, and Eli's sons were slain. Proverbs gives us much direction on training of children, Ephesians as well. Are we willing to stand in the gap? Are we willing to stand in the gap in our churches? And you may look up here in the front, you may look up here in the pulpit and say, well, brethren, that's your responsibility to stand. You're the watchman. You're to stand. And that is true. We are called to that responsibility. Ezekiel chapter 33 talks about the watchman on the wall. And when he sees the danger coming, he needs to sound the trumpet. If he doesn't sound the trumpet and people lose their lives, their blood's going to be required at the watchman's hand. But if the watchman stands on a wall and he sees the danger coming and he sounds the trumpet and people don't listen, blood's going to be on them. We have a responsibility. He talks about the shepherds in Ezekiel chapter 34. He talks about the shepherds who don't bind up the weak and the injured and the bruised. They don't feed the flock. They feed on the flock. That is true. We as leaders, we as ordained of God, need to sound the trumpet. And brothers and sisters, the responsibility goes a lot further than that. The responsibility lays on your shoulders this morning. Your ordained leaders are still just men. I don't know about you, Brother Kervin, but I still need the input of my brothers and sisters in my life, personally and in church work. I don't have all the answers. We need to work together to build up the wall and to stop the gap in the hedges. God is looking not just to us, but to you. For a man to stand in the gap, or a sister or a woman to stand in the gap and be willing to say, I will serve the Lord. Where are those who are willing to stand in the gap? The members that are pillars in the house of God. Brothers and sisters, I don't know you this morning, so I can speak freely. Are you a pillar in the church of God? Are you one that upholds the standards, one that fills the gap in the hedge? God forbid that you would be an individual that tears down the hedge. But sad to say, sometimes we have those individuals in the churches as well. What is the commentary that God writes when he sees our lives and our churches? What about in the world around us? Are we going to stand in the gap? You know where our nation is going, morally and spiritually. It's no secret where we're at. Are we willing to stand up and speak the truth when we're out in public, when we meet people on the streets, when we meet people in business? Oh, I got to be careful what I say because I don't want to lose a good customer. What's more important? The possibility of losing a customer or the possibility of saving a soul from hell? Are we willing to stand in the gap when we hear people talking about their first and their second wives and how they they go on to the third one? Are we willing to stand up and to speak? Or are we just going to say, well, that's so sad how the world is going today, you know, and just... Brothers and sisters, the Word of God is the only hope for the world around us. It's our only hope. And it's the only thing we have to stand on. It's the only thing we have to share with the world around us. Are we ready to live a life of testimony? Oh, well, people, you know, they see the way I dress. They see they hear the way I talk, you know, and isn't that testimony enough? No, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry, it's not. We need to talk. We need to be bold enough to speak out against the sin and the wrong. And yeah, it might get us laughed at. It might lose us a customer. It might mean mockery. It might mean that somebody comes and smashes our mailbox at night or drives through our lawn or whatever it may be. But brothers and sisters, we need to preach, we need to speak, we need to proclaim the truth. We need to stand in the gap. God is looking for individuals who are ready to proclaim his word. And that means he's looking for an individual who has stood in the gap in his own life and in his own home and is a pillar in the church and is out there ready to be a testimony whenever the door is open. I'm not a perfect example of that. I have walked away from conversations many times and hung my head in shame and saying, God, forgive me, you opened the door and I didn't take the opportunity. Where are we this morning? Are we individuals that stand in the gap? Or is God saying, I found none, and therefore I'm going to destroy? It's up to you and I. Let's kneel for prayer.